know the rule says that when a decision has to be made, there has to be a quorum. And I want to suggest that we proceed with the meeting. If there are any decisions that has to be taken, then of course such decisions would require a quorum. We have on the agenda the briefing of the department on the second quarter report, and I'm saying that on the basis of that we can proceed, and if there are anything else that we need to decide upon, that's when we have to see if there's a quorum. Would that be in order, or honourable members?
Agreed.
So we've got the report of the department. We have also received a response on the letter that we sent to the minister, and we will deal with that also on the agenda. But I'm going to ask that we start with the department. Before I give you an opportunity, let me open and welcome everyone to this meeting. The apologies that we have, both Honourable Killian and Honourable Bazzoli have got medical reasons for their absence today. We can wish them well, and I trust Honourable Members. Honourable Killian seems not to be going to be with us for a while because of her medical condition. You would agree with me that we send her something to wish her well, and if there's a card that we have that we can circulate to all of you to help her get better. I think those are the only apologies, Secretary, that were sent to us. Oh, yes, Honourable Mbata has also sent an apology. Then, Honourable Members, we have a new member that you remember in the last meeting we said Honourable Nkadimeng is not with us anymore. We now have a new member, Honourable Mavunda. I say the G instead of the D. That's why I wanted to make sure. So Honourable Mavunda is a new member on our committee after Honourable Nkadimeng has been discharged. So both him and Honourable, the two of them that sit together, they've been ETC'd to be full members now. So welcome to the new member. The other member has been welcomed already, but I want to say to them, both members, can the secretary make sure that they have the necessary documents, legislation, maybe some of the things that we have done, what this department is all about, and what the committee is all about and have done and so on. And I think that helped both the members to catch up with what are the different things that we are dealing with and what our focus area really is as a committee. Having said that and having welcomed all of you, Director General of the Department of Higher Education and Training, I hand over to yourself to guide us on how the report has been done. As you, just before you do that, Honourable Members, I want to ask DG also and the CFO and the others. Honourable Members, I hope you've brought your AENE with you, and the Adjustment Appropriations Bill also with you, because they really go together this time. We've asked the department to speak to the adjustment also. We'll be comfortable, DG, if you want to marry them in the presentation. If you want to do it separate, also fine. It's really up to yourself how you want to do it.
Oh,
yourself, DJ.
Thank you very much, Chair, Honourable Member.
Sorry that all of you had to wait for the members.
No problem, no problem. We are disciplined, you know, as officials. Thank you very much, Honourable Members, Chair of the Audit Committee in the Department, DG. I saw them coming in here. Colleagues in the Department of Higher Education and Training, Ministry, as well as in Parliament. Chair, this is the second quarter report, as you have requested. We have come here for the first quarter. So we will present in respect to the progress in each and every program, as well as the financial information on some of the critical areas, including what we have requested us to include. We have worked on that, and it has been done as such. Now, for this period, which is 2017-18 financial year, we have 86 targets, which are spread across all programs of the department, which are six, and they present themselves in the form of the steering mechanisms, as well as student support services that we are engaged in for the entire post-school education and training sector. In addition, there are 34 system targets that are encompassing universities, TVET colleges, community education and training colleges, as well as CETAs. These are always monitored by the respective delivery programs of the department and responded to periodically, mainly during the third quarter of the financial year. Now, you would be aware, Honourable Members, that in the first quarter, the department achieved 25 targets out of 33, which constitutes 76% against the planned targets that were there. Now, there were about 8 targets that were outstanding, then that were not achieved. So all those targets have been achieved to date. So the leftover from quarter one, so they've been subsequently achieved. And we're not including them necessarily in respect to this quarter. Now in the second quarter, there are 40 planned targets or outputs from all the branches. Now, 37 out of 40 has been achieved, and that constitutes 93%, which then shows that an improved performance by 17% in the quarter under review. So, Chair, I will ask each program official to take us through a bit quicker, because we are having 49 slides, of which, if we are not mindful of time, will take quite a long time. But I think Honourable Members would be comfortable that we are at 93% of the achievement. Which in the main, we could just talk about the 7% who have been achieved. Can I give Ms. Mapeto to take us through program one?
Thank you, DG Chairperson, Honorable Members, colleagues from the department, good morning. I'm going to be presenting program one. In terms of the targets that were set for second quarter. Let me just indicate the purpose of the program is to provide overall management and administration of the department. In 2017-18, strategic objectives, we've got these objectives as to ensure effective human resource management within the department, to ensure effective financial management practices, and also to improve ICT services. The number of targets for 2017-18 financial year are 12, and for quarter two, we have got four targets that we need to be reporting on. Out of the four targets, three of them have been achieved. In terms of indicating what are the targets, target number one was a plan to improve recruitment and selection processes, was developed and approved by the Director General. We also added information in terms of what was the purpose of the plan. Basically, this plan seeks to improve efficiency of the recruitment and selection processes within the department, and it will also enable the department to fill advertised positions within 180 days. The second objective target was a draft plan to reduce number of days to resolve disciplinary cases to be consulted. This plan was drafted and consulted in the second quarter, and that's why we are saying it has been achieved. The third target is a remedial plan on audit finding in the previous financial year was developed and approved by the Director General on 27 September. The plan contains all the departmental action plans to address the findings by the Auditor General, and the implementation of the action plans is also monitored on a quarterly basis until they are all fully completed. The target that was not achieved is basically the development of ICT strategy and system for implementation. It was not yet approved, but it was actually done. The issue was the consultation in terms of getting funding. And if as of now, that funding has been secured, so the plan will be routed for the DG's approval. Probably when we report in the third quarter, we'll be reporting progress on the implementation of that. When the DG was presenting, it indicated that there were eight targets that were not achieved from the first quarter. We also had one, which was development of the system for tracking invoices for creditors in order to pay within 30 days. The current status is that the plan has been approved, therefore that target is now being achieved. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Mr. Mkhiwa?
Thank you, DG. Good
afternoon.
Yes.
I've already prepared on your behalf.
Okay. Thank you, DG. I'm presenting for Program 2, Learning Policy and Strategy. Just as a reminder on the purpose of the program, is to provide strategic direction in the department, in the development, implementation, and monitoring of departmental policies and the human resource development strategy for South Africa. The program has five strategic objectives for the financial year. I will just assume that members have read those. Just go straight into the targets for the program. For the financial year, there are about 12. And for the quarter, they were 11, and all of those were achieved. And just to qualify the achievements, these are all the outputs that were planned towards the attainment of the annual targets. So what I'll be presenting is progress towards those. In terms of the first target, which is the development of a list of occupations in high demand, that is due at the end of the financial year. We have provided additional information just to allow members to get an understanding of what that is. But for the quarter under review, we had planned to finalize a concept note, which is a business plan for the development of the occupations in high demand. And that has been done, and it has been peer-reviewed as planned. Now, going forward, that will then outline the activities that will be undertaken in the comparison of the occupations in high demand. Secondly, in terms of the development of the policy framework on disability, also due at the end of the financial year. The target was to publish the ministerial report, which is the framework on the development, on the disability policy through a gazette. That was done, and preparations now are underway to get this gazetted, finalized and gazetted following cabinet consideration. The third one is the annual report on the implementation of the social inclusion within the PCS system. We are producing quarterly reports towards an annual report at the end of the financial year. You will recall that in the first quarter, we also produced the first, what we call the first quarter, which encompassed just one university, which showed the implementation of social inclusion. This time around, the second quarter is revealing that there is improvement. There are three universities that are taking this up and are implementing the policy, but also eight TVET colleges as well within the subsets system. In terms of the annual report on the implementation of open learning policy in PSET, we're also producing quarterly reports. The report has been produced as planned, and the details are therein in terms of what has happened and what constituted the report. The third report that we also are planning to produce at the end of the financial year is the implementation of career development services. We're also producing quarterly reports. There is a second quarter report following the report that was produced in the first quarter. The status report on international relations, that also has been compiled, and it is a report that shows international activities that get undertaken throughout the financial year. The development of the post-school education training investment report, is due for approval by the DG at the end of the financial year. There is also progress towards that, the attainment of this deliverable. During the quarter under review, the intention was to collate data and prepare the requisite tables towards the compilation of this report. As we speak now, Chair, we have a draft investment report that is being consulted on internally. The institutionalization and implementation of career development, which is due for approval by the DG at the end of the financial year. The target during the quarter was to ensure that that is institutionalized and a draft implementation report is compiled. That has been done. There are currently three structures that have been established, the Interdepartmental Career Development Committee, the National Career Development System Coordinating Structure, as well as the National Career Development Forum, as part institutionalization of the policy. The development of a communication strategy for student support services. The target in the quarter was to produce a draft communication strategy on student support services. That has been compiled, and it outlines the activities required to attract students to use career development services instruments that the department is introducing. The implementation strategy therein will be phased in once this is finalized from 2018-19 financial year. The second last deliverable is the design of the management information system for public college, public community colleges. The initial work for the design of the management information system is proceeding well. During the quarter under review, we completed the draft design of the database with specific, with relevant specifications for the system. Information Standard Committee approved those specifications, and they are ready for DG to approve. Lastly, Chair, the publication of an annual statistics on PSAT, which is the statistics that we produce on an annual basis and publish them on our website, and there's a specific document that gets circulated to our stakeholders. That is due for approval by the DG also at the end of the financial year. Work is underway towards the development of this. We are on track to produce this report at the end of the financial year. Currently, we're busy collating the requisite statistical data for the compilation of this report. What is outstanding now is the data that relates to the Tibet sector. But the initial plan was just to ensure that we collate what is available and be ready to conclude on that once we receive the information from the Tibet sector. So that is progress in as far as the outputs towards the attainment of the targets for the program. Thank you very much.
Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, I'm going to report in the University Education Program, Program 3. The purpose of the program is to develop and coordinate policy and regulatory frameworks for an effective and efficient education system, university education system, and provide substantial financial support to universities, NISFAS, and National Institutes of Higher Education. We had a number of objectives within the 2017-18 APP. I won't go through those in detail, but they cover the various aspects of the work that we do within the branch. We had 20 targets that were planned for the financial year and 6 targets that are quarterly targets. Many of these targets are progress towards the annual targets rather than the finalization of the work. Of these targets, we're reporting that 5 were achieved, that's 83%, and 1 was not achieved. In terms of the targets, the first one was the development of the Central Application Service policy that had already been approved by the Minister in the first quarter, but has now been published in the Government Gazette. We're in the process of finalising concurrence with National Treasury, and we've developed a draft bill that we hope to put in through the parliamentary process as soon as we have that in place. The development of an amended NISFAS Act. We have been under the process of reviewing the NISFAS Act, and various aspects of that have been done as planned. We are planning to have the revisions approved by the Minister by the 31st of March 2018. A report on the HAIDS program for 2016-17 that was developed and approved by the Director General, and that is finalised. The development of an updated cohort study, that is in process, but we had to collect the data first because the data has just been verified, and so the development of the cohort report will follow. The target not achieved that is being reported is the policy framework on collaboration between professional bodies. However, I want to indicate that that the actual collaboration has happened. There is a report on this. A policy framework has been developed and is currently being consulted on further. And so the target is likely to be achieved by the 31st of March 2018. The same target had been reported as underachieved in the first quarter due to the project plan not having uploaded, but that project plan has been uploaded. So that brings me to the end of the report. Thank you very much.
Good morning, honorable members, colleagues, chairperson. The purpose of Tibet vocational education and training is to plan, develop, and implement, monitor, maintain, and evaluate national policy programs and essential practices and systems for technical and vocational education and training. So in 2017-18, the strategic objectives was to develop and review Tibet's steering mechanisms. Now, steering mechanisms are either policy or guidelines or regulations. A second area is to ensure effective monitoring and evaluation of the Tibet sector. Third one is to provide teaching and learning support plans. Fourth one, infrastructure for Tibet colleges. And then lastly, to ensure a strong Tibet stakeholder network. Now, the number of targets for 2017-18 financial year are 28. The number of targets for this quarter were 11, and all 11 were achieved. The achievements were in the area of the development of performance reporting policy for Tibet colleges for approval by the Director General by the 31st of December 2017. So this is work in progress. The first draft was developed and consulted with colleges. Following the consultation, the second draft was developed and approved by the DG as planned. And this policy outlines procedures on finance, provisioning, governance, planning, and reporting for input by colleges. This has already been communicated to colleges. In regards to the development of policy for Tibet College finance for approval by the Director General by 31st March, a draft policy on Tibet College finance has been developed. Third one is the development of a policy for the South African Institute for Vocational and Continuing Education and Training for approval by the DG. The first draft was developed. Consultation with stakeholders on the first draft was conducted as planned, and the purpose of establishment SIFESET is to provide support and coordination to Tibet and community colleges and to provide greater coherence and expert advice on matters related to RESET. The fourth area is the development of policy for the administration and management of student admissions for Tibet colleges for approval by the DG on the 31st of March 2018. The first draft policy was developed during the second quarter and consulted with colleges. Following consultation with colleges, the second draft was developed as planned, and this policy seeks to standardize student admission processes for all Tibet colleges. Fifthly, the development of the reviewed funding framework for Tibet colleges. The reviewed funding framework has been approved by the DG as planned, and the reviewed framework has been published for public comments, and comments are being incorporated into the framework for the minister's approval. The sixth one is the development of a reviewed departmental policy framework on Tibet qualifications. Consultations with stakeholders on the draft policy was conducted, and the second draft policy has been developed during the second quarter. This policy seeks to review the Tibet qualifications programs to align them with the emerging labor market demands. Three oversight reports were due for completion and approval. A report on the conduct of public Tibet college examination centers during national examinations and assessment has been approved. The report evaluates the credibility and integrity of the conduct of examinations. A total of 154 public Tibet examination centers participated in the April national examination cycle. 275 irregularities were detected and reported. A report on certification backlog eradication has been approved by the DG, and substantial progress has been made in eradicating the backlog. However, 3-month lead time for issuing certificates is yet to be achieved by both for both NCV and report 190. A monitoring and evaluation report for colleges' performance has been approved. 10th, the development of a plan for TVET College lecturer development, engagement and consultation with colleges on the development of the first draft was conducted. The first draft on college lecturer development was developed, and the plan outlines the lecturer development areas in view of curriculum policy changes. The development of a national infrastructure asset management framework is due for completion by 31st March. Progress to date has been consultations on the draft infrastructure asset management framework has been conducted with colleges, and the framework would standardize the planning and maintenance of assets for all 50 TVET colleges. Honourable Chair, the status of targets not achieved during the first quarter, and that was the work in progress that was not completed as planned for in the first quarter. All of those have been achieved. That is the performance reporting policy, the policy for SIFESET, policy for administration and management of student admission. These are all replicated in the second quarter report where we've met the second quarter targets as well. So I'm on page 31 and all those targets of the first quarter have been achieved. Thank you very much.
The program is aimed at promoting and monitoring the national skills development strategy. It also develops a skills development policy and regulatory framework for an effective skills development system. The strategic objectives are to develop and review steering mechanisms for artisan development, to ensure effective artisan development and assessment services, to ensure effective monitoring and evaluation of artisan development, as well as to develop infrastructure or facilities for artisan development. Our targets. Overall, the number of targets for the 2017-18 financial year were 8, and the number of targets for the quarter was 4. All the targets were achieved for the quarter, which was 4. We achieved them 100%. Coming to the specifics, the achievements per target. One, the development of the reviewed National Skills Development Plan for approval by the Director General was targeted for 31 March 2018. At present, the first draft of the reviewed National Skills Development Plan was consulted at NEDLAC, and consultation continued during the second quarter with the National Skills Authority as planned. Secondly, we targeted a report on the implementation of the National Skills Development Strategy by all CETAs, which was due to be completed and approved by the Director General on the 30th of September 2017. A report on the implementation of the National Skills Development Strategy by CETAS has been approved by the Director General as targeted. This report provides progress status on the implementation of CETAS strategic and annual performance plans in terms of the signed service level agreement with the DG. Thirdly, the planned average lead time from qualifying trade test applications received until trade test is conducted was 100 days. During the court under review, the process of conducting trade tests for the qualifying applications received until the trade test is conducted took 70.9 days on average, which means the target was exceeded because the turnaround time for conducting the trade test was shorter. The fourth target was the approval of the report on the implementation of security infrastructure development plan at the Institute for National Development of Learnerships, Employment, Skills and Labor Assessment, which was to be approved by the DG on the 31 March 2018. The quarterly meetings on the implementation of the security infrastructure development plan was held and progress reports are being compiled as planned. Thank you very much.
Thank you, TG. Good morning, Chairperson and members. In terms of Program 6, the purpose is to plan, develop, implement, monitor, maintain, and evaluate national policy program assessment practices and systems for community education and training. There are two strategic objectives for the current financial year. The first one, to develop and review steering mechanisms. The second one is to ensure effective monitoring and evaluation of the community education and training sector. Overall, we have six targets for the financial year. The number of targets for the second quarter were four. Three targets were achieved in terms of what we needed to do. One target was not achieved in the current quarter. In terms of achievement, the first one is the service delivery model that was achieved, was approved by the Director General. And basically, the service delivery model provides for a description and a standard towards the CET programs and beneficiaries. The second target is the reporting policy for colleges. This particular college policy has been gazetted for public comments as planned. The third one is the monitoring and evaluation report in terms of CET colleges. This is an annual target, and therefore, in the second quarter, there are reports that are expected. The report indeed was approved by the DG. The report covers issues related to teaching and learning, lecturer development and support, assessment and examination and analysis of student performance. So that report was approved. The last report that was not achieved, the last activity that was not achieved was the reviewed funding framework for CET colleges that was supposed to be approved by the minister by the end of September 2017. This is the target that was not approved. But subsequent to the reporting period, this then has been dealt with. At the moment, we are receiving public comments on the funding framework, and with the final date of so far submission was 25 October 2017. In relation to the first quarter, this was a similar target, the funding framework. We made those amendments. That's why we're reporting in the second quarter that we then have submitted this to the minister for approval. So that's in terms of Program 6. Yeah. Thanks.
Chairperson, honorable members. In terms of the financial information, second quarter ending 30 September, the overall spending rate at that stage was 67.11% if we include the direct charges that is part of the total vote. The average spending for normal operation activities at that stage with compensation of employees was 46.87%. If you look at compensation of employees itself, the average stood at 46.98%, of which personnel expenditure amounted to 46.16%, and the payment of examiners and moderators was already at 96.43%. Now, examiners and moderators very high at that point in time. It is a concern, and we are carefully looking at it together with the TVET branch to ensure that we can manage it to the end of the financial year. All the transfers and subsidies up to the end of the second quarter were processed as planned in accordance with the approved payment schedules. Expenditure on goods and services for the department's normal operations is relatively high compared to previous financial years for this time of the year, especially if we also take into account the number of commitments that's on the system. So from the side of finance, we will carefully monitor this and ensure that the necessary corrective measures are put in place to prevent over-expenditure. Program 3 remains the program with the highest spending trend, basically because of the subsidy payments to universities, as well as the new National Student Financial Aid Scheme. As a result of that, transfer payments is also the spending item with the highest spending trend. The next two slides, Chair, Honourable Members, reflect firstly the spending per program and then secondly per economic classification. Please note that these two slides are as at 30 September 2017. It therefore still reflects the main appropriation and not the adjusted appropriation, as the adjusted appropriation is still in process of being promulgated. So we still reflect the main appropriation amounts as at 30 September. There you can see that the majority of programs, well above 45%, except for Program 2, Planning, Policy and Strategy. And as I indicated, the university education branch with the highest percentage currently at close to 80% because of the subsidy payments to the universities and the National Student Financial Aid Scheme. If you look at the economic classifications, there you can see the information for personnel expenditure and examiners and moderators as highlighted. Goods and services, although 44.9%, when we add the commitments, it is rather high. Transfer payments stand at 70%. Just to indicate that universities, subsidy payments already at 73.64%. That is based on the approved transfer payment schedule with National Treasury. We give payments larger than just 1 month. In April, we basically pay universities back from January to March, and therefore you'll see a higher percentage right there. For the public entities, National Student Financial Aid Scheme already received the full subsidy of 10.1 billion, and that is also in agreement with our arrangement and with the cash flow projections with National Treasury. We provide NSFAS in advance with their allocations so that they can assist all the universities and the TVET colleges in that respect. The other public entities are at 56.34%. The deviation of 6.34% above halfway is because of the Council of Higher Education, where we also provided them with increased subsidy because of difficulties in terms of cash flow, and therefore it's not only 50% but 56.34%. The other one to note, Jay, is on the skills levies. Although we are halfway through the financial year, there was only a percentage of 47.8 received and transferred. And if we go to the next slide, we will see why that is happening. And that is what happened in the adjusted estimates for 2017-18. Now, in the adjusted estimates, our total allocation of 68.9 billion were reduced to 68.078 billion, a decrease of 870.902 million. And this decrease is only on the skills levy. There was a downward adjustment of the estimated collections by SARS, and that adjustment is done by National Treasury, and that is also, as you could see, the actual collection and payment by the end of September was below the 50% benchmark, and therefore the decrease of 870.9 million there. In the adjusted estimates, the other main aspect to note was a shift of funds of 135 million, which was shifted from compensation of employees to the subsidization of TVET colleges. And this is because of the projections on compensation of employees for TVET colleges, so that they can receive the benefits of possible unspent funds on compensation, and that it is transferred to them as subsidies. This is also an agreement and an approval by National Treasury. On the next slide, Chair, as requested, the status of the audit action plans. We finalized the audit action plans at the end of September, and it was approved. Since then, we requested branches to do a detailed review also of the status of the plans. We received that, and the audit committee then provided comments to the accounting officer and all the branch heads on those matters. An additional workshop was also held with the Auditor General as late as Monday, that's just past, 6 November 2017. And all branches were then again by the AG reviewed in terms of the root causes and the planned actions that needs to be addressed to ensure that all the internal control weaknesses receive attention. Branches are now reworking some of the documentation. In general, the AG is in agreement with what was done. There were a few recommendations to branches, and each branch will now work on those recommendations. The next report to be submitted will be next week on Monday, the 13th of November 2017. So then, the last two slides, just to highlight, as we had approximately 2 weeks ago, the announcement of the medium-term budget policy statement by the Minister of Finance, and just to highlight some of the issues that were raised in the MTBPS, specifically in relation to post-school education and training, or the Department of Higher Education and Training. First of all, education is included as one of the key priority areas for funding. It remains, I think there are 7 specific areas mentioned in the MTBPS, and education remains one of the key priorities. The evaluation of the implications of providing fee-free higher education is highlighted in the MTBPS as a key risk and cost pressure to be taken into account. The 2018 mandate paper by National Treasury also highlights the requirement to expand student accommodation. Important to note, Chair, that although it is included and highlighted, it's only reflected as a risk and a cost pressure as a result of the fact that the presidential report was not yet available, and that detailed finalization of whatever is in the report and needs to be implemented, final decisions have not been taken yet. In terms of post-school education and training, specifically, the department together with the skills levy remains the function in government with the highest average nominal growth, 8.2%, and that is over the period from the current financial year 2017-18 up to 2020-21. And after debt service cost, it is basically then this sector with the highest growth. If you look at the next slide, the table directly from the MTBPS reflects the funding shortfalls on the full cost of study for university students. it just gives an indication, and those are some of the risk and cost pressures that's reflected by the Minister of Finance in the MTBPS. If we look at the possible share of students that could share in fee-free education or higher education, then we can see that the possible shortfalls per academic year, and it would then boils down to a financial year 18-19, 19-20, 20-21, and 21-22. Over that period, one can then see the exact possible amounts, which would be, for example, if we take 30% share of students, in 2018 amounts to 10.7 billion rand, goes up to 12.6 billion, 14.8 billion, 17.3 billion over those 4 years. Then, what is also important to note, it is for university students, but if we would add the TVET colleges and the TVET students, it could amount to an approximate additional 23.5 billion rand over that period. And those are the numbers reflected in the MTBPS. With regards to the expansion of student accommodation, which was also highlighted as a key cost pressure, no specific amounts were allocated or defined. However, it did indicate that should anything be funded, an amount of approximately 11.1 billion rand would be required over the 2018 MTEF, and that is for approximately provision of space for about 300,000 additional beds for students. Chief, that is the end. DG, if there's perhaps anything else from your side. Thank you.
No, thank you very much. Perhaps the chair of the audit committee as well as AG,
thank you, DG, honourable members, honourable chair, thank you very much. I think the CFO has addressed the majority of the issues. From the audit committee side, we also continue to monitor the expenditure. There are some line items that we are concerned about at this stage, but I know finance will monitor it closely. In terms of your original invite, Chair, as well, in terms of the action plans of the Auditor General, based on the Auditor General findings, there were action plans developed and progress against that. We have reviewed it, however, and we felt as a committee that it did not address all the root causes sufficiently, and we want to prevent repeat findings. And then the Auditor General has also graciously, and we thank them for that, agreed to take management per branch into a workshop to look at the action plan and to see if it will really address the root cause to make sure that we don't get the repeat finding. And we're really glad that they did that. There's one section that must still go through that process, and that will then we will request ownership of this by the branch heads and sign off by the branch heads of these action plans, and we will continue to monitor against that. There are certain areas that we know in terms of the performance information that we still have some difficulties in terms of the systems. For example, TVET performance information, as we don't have the same type of system that we have in EMIS. But I think for the rest of the findings, we are hopeful and we will continue monitoring. We will also have a special audit committee meeting just to look at the progress before we close for the year. Chair, thank you.
IG.
Yeah, any questions? Oh. I know, over to you, Chair.
Thank
there
you.
May be a few questions.
Thank you very much, DG and all the DDGs and other officials for the presentation. Honourable members, it is over to yourself to engage on that. I want to remind you and welcome Auditor General's team. If there are any questions to the AG officials, you may do so also. Honourable, yes. for Funderbee Station, followed by Kunu. Just put your hands a bit higher up because the, there we go, Kakana, thank you. Because of the seating arrangement is not too great in this room. Funderbee Station.
Thank you, Chairperson. There are a number of questions and responses that I want to make. The first one is, I'm particularly concerned about the high percentage of outputs that are measured by whether a report has been finalized or not. And there's no qualitative indicator. You know, it just says a report must have been adopted or approved or whatever. There's no substance as to, is the report implementable? Is it a positive report? Is the report complete? Or anything like that. And I really find that very difficult to accept that this is the best way to indicate success by the department. If you just come up with plans and reports and policies and so on. The second thing is, Chair, if we can just go to the finances. I've been approached by colleges who are really being suffocated financially at this point in time. And my question is, do I read your report correctly in that NSFAS has already received 100% of the annual budget? Yet the fact that, for example, TVET colleges, you know how late we are in the academic year. The academic year is more than 90% complete. But the reports that I've received is that the TVET colleges have only received 46% of their annual approved NSFAS funding. Now, can you just imagine the financial hardship? Chair, can I say here? I'm going to the Northern Cape on Friday, tomorrow. Because there are students in a hostel, they don't get food, they must buy their own prepaid electricity for the hostel. On Friday then. I'm going there, they even must buy their own garbage bags for the refuse to be put out. Because I presume the college just can't afford it because the college is cash strapped. And I really feel for the college management when the department and its entities are putting colleges in that situation. And then, Chair, can I just also ask again, my problem is that, congratulations, with a target, for example, the target, I think there's been one of a time period, I think it was for the Indlela trade tests, where the target was to bring it down under 100 days to wait for your trade test, and I think you're standing at 70. That is the kind of target that I believe is measurable, that can really show progress. And Chair, and then just my two last questions is again regarding the spending. If we say that the spending pattern on staff is that where I said is standing on 46%. Is that 46% of the annual budget for staff? So it seems to be quite in line then with, you know, a full year spending. You always have a few vacancies. But then, Chair, my last question, and thank you very much for that table, regarding the shortfall, should free education be our aim? We are still waiting for the judicial commission's report. We've alluded to it last week, and I hope that letter has been sent off to the minister. This seems to give us an indication of what would be needed. But where are we currently standing? What message can we, as members of parliament on this committee, and you as the department, what message can you give to those people that must manage the situation with the students on the ground in terms of, is some financial relief coming their way? If so, what is the extent of that financial relief? Has the Commission's report been shared with you? And when can we expect to put those managers, university managers, TVET college managers, etc., in a position where they will know for certain that the financial year of universities run from the 1st of January to the 31st of December. Their budgets must be finalized and it must be approved. Councils must sit not later than probably the first week in December. We're 3 weeks away from that. Can you please help us, or can you please help them by giving them information to manage the institutions? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the presentation. And let me start by commending the department for achieving most of the targets for the second quarter. My first question is that a plan to improve HR recruitment and selection was developed and approved. I would like to know whether implementation of the plan is currently underway and whether there would be improvement in meeting the target of filling vacancies within the required time frame. DG, the committee requested the department to give a detailed report on the construction of the 12 new TVET college campuses. So I didn't read it well. If you can share with us if what is happening in that regard, because from where we're standing, there was a target of to have 3 new TVET college campuses built by 31 March this year, which was not achieved. If you can just share with us progress with regards to that issue. Again, the department could not report on the targets to have 310,000 headcount enrollment in all CET colleges and 35% certification rates in formal CET qualifications performance due to unavailability of data. That was what was reported to us during the previous quarter. The department also committed that data for these targets would be available by end October 2017. I would like to know whether the State Information Technology Agency provided data on TVET and CET targets that could not be reported in the 2016-17 annual report. If not, please explain why. If the required data was provided, what were the outcomes? With regards to the irregular expenditure incurred during the 2017-18 first quarter, there was 228,000 incurred irregular expenditure, and the internal audit recommended that disciplinary action should be taken against the involved officials because they bypassed the supply chain management processes. Please tell us how many officials were involved in the irregular expenditure and at what level. Were these officials involved in the previous irregular expenditure incidents? What is the progress with regard to the disciplinary process? Whether the department incurred, I'd like to know also whether you have incurred an irregular expenditure during the second quarter. If so, how much was involved, in which programs, whether investigations were conducted and consequence management implemented against the involved officials. The last one is that the Auditor General has reported that there were TVET colleges and universities with outstanding financial statements for 2016. Has the department followed up with the institutions to ensure compliance? so were the reports submitted to the AG for auditing. Lastly, Chair, one is concerned with the consistent absence of relevant DDGs. One would understand that Mr. Mvalo, I think, is attending some conference, if that is still the case, and I'm not sure what is happening with others. I think it's better, it's helpful, in fact, when we engage with them. Remember, this is the second quarter report. It's just not any report on a matter, but we are reporting on performance here. So relevant DDGs responsible for management of that particular department or unit should be here. Thank you.
Chair, the first question emphasizes what the previous speaker raised, the issue of vacancies, that when they are funded vacancies, I really can't understand why they can't be filled, because all the time when we get the reports, there are vacancies, and we've now come to the end of the year, both at the university and at TVET. Can we just get an indication why? Because, you know, if it was gas skills, engineering, professors, I could understand. But there are many people in this country who've got PhDs and so on. We all the time report about how many PhDs and masters we are producing from universities. When skills, when vacancies are there, and at one stage I remember the president had said there are about 500,000 vacancies in public sector, and they should be filled, because we can't complain. These are funded vacancies. We can't be complaining about unemployment. And jobs are there, but we're not giving people jobs. They might not be ready in terms of experience, but how will they get experience when we don't give them the opportunity? Because all of us had government experience for the first time after 1994, after the invent of the new democracy. So I would like to know really, why do we persist on reporting on vacancies? Because we want to capacitate you, and the opportunity is there for you to be capacitated, but spaces are left open and money is there to pay salaries. That really is something that raises concern with me. The second point, Chair, on performance, is it not possible that when you report, you could also get performance about, I mean, we keep on hearing that policy is that CETAs are there to link public sector, private sector with colleges. Now, if they are a facilitator and a student must get experience from colleges teaching theory in the main with practice on the job training in private sector, can't we get on the scorecard some indication that this is how CETAs are performing in this particular sector? If it is engineering, you could indicate to us CETAs in this area have performed. I mean, we should measure their performance. Otherwise, why is the performance management system if it can't measure, especially a questionable area like CETAs? Because until they start facilitating and we can see how good or bad they are facilitating, students will keep on complaining that they are not getting on the job training. So maybe I've missed it, but if it is there, please tell us how CETAs are performing
in specific areas. Let me stop there, Chair.
Any other member? Honorable Omaran?
Thanks, Chairperson. I also welcome the report that deals with the second quarter. From information at our disposal, it looks better with regards to the 100% that have been attained in terms of the targets. One of the targets was actually even exceeded due to an outstanding target that was not met in quarter one. Comparatively speaking, with regard to maybe other portfolios and or departments, I take personally solace in the fact that there has been quite a tremendous meeting our targets. So I've been sufficiently covered by the other questions, but on program two, that deals with planning policy strategy, there's point number nine that deals with the development of communication strategy for student support services, and below there's an outline on it, which I also want to appreciate. But I would also want the department in response to talk about the student support services that deals with an occurrence that is gaining root of students committing suicide. And how does the department respond to that? How does the student support services, that engagement, and what is availed in as far as that is concerned to ameliorate the situation of students to that effect? If the department can touch on that. Thanks, Chair.
I don't see any further hands. Teacher, we're going to hand over to you, but before we do that, can you... I see that the NSFAS Act, bill, are somewhere in the process. Can I find out if the NSFAS Act, and I think it's a skills one also, maybe if you can just inform us about, you know, whether it will be passage to Parliament next year. It helps with our programming in Parliament to know that this is at least your thinking of by when you would want to do that. We want to encourage you not to bring any bills here in August. It's not going to help at all. It's the end of the fifth Parliament. The second one is it possible to... I'm not sure if it is this, but there's a colloquium and I see workshop also with the Tibbets. Is there any way that we can be informed of, those proposals, decisions, or whatever that has been made there? On the Tibbets, elaborate on the 275 irregular. Nature, what is the steps taken, whatever the possibilities are. And did you the week before that, we had a joint meeting with Basic Education, and they spoke about some things that they're doing with, some programs for the disabled. I'm not sure if this is the same thing that you're reporting also. You might want to tell us whether that is the same one. And then I want to, for the CET, we note what Treasury has done in the adjustment budget. We note the compensation of Devers, yourself, and all of it, which obviously we see some little progress that are happening somewhere. Have you been able to fully integrate the ABET people insofar as their conditions of employment are concerned and all other relevant things to allow them to properly be part of the national department. There are problems as it relates to the different payment structures and still conditions of employment, because they were all in the provinces. So thank you again, DG, for responding to all the questions that we have asked, and those that you have not achieved in the last one, you have updated us now where you are and so on. But I'm going to hand over to yourself to respond to that, and as you do, can you tell us whether you are in line now with 3 months provision of the certificates? Are you there yet?
Thank you very much, Chair. There are just few questions from my side, because some other areas will be covered by line branches, as they are represented here, all of them. Now, in respect to the targets that we are talking about that are under review at the present moment, I think perhaps, Honourable Member, what we would need to do would be perhaps to provide a bit more meat in respect annual performance plans, because the targets that we're reporting on at the present moment are not developed and formulated specifically in this quarter. We are reporting on what is enshrined in the APP of the department. That's why in reporting the achievement, we sort of put a bit of substance in respect to what this target is about and what its intentions are in respect to the system, to give a bit more clarity. But we take your point, but perhaps it's something that we need to look at it quite closely when we are developing annual performance plans and engaging with the portfolio committee itself. Now, in respect to NSFAS funding to TVET colleges, we are aware of the challenges that are there, and there have been a lot of meetings between the department and NSFAS at an operational level in trying to put quite forthrightly to the attention of officials and management at NSFAS that it is their obligation to ensure that the monies that have been transferred to them in order to dispense to the institutions as well as TVET colleges, it is their responsibility to do so. I think the last letter I wrote to them in respect to this matter, it was only last week. But DDG Patel may elaborate in respect to this particular area. The commission, it's not our competence though to talk on this matter, but it's a matter that the president has assured us that it's receiving his utmost attention and the processing, and quite soon pronouncements are going to be made. We're talking here about a report of about 749 pages that everybody has to go through in order to come up with some pronouncements or proposals in respect to what the policy permutations should be emanating from the report itself. And the approach in respect to this report has always been not to confine ourselves in the entire system and the practices and processes of government on ad hoc arrangements that
that has to crop up all the time, but to work towards finding a more lasting solution to the system, which requires then a bit of consideration as well as processing of the issues in detail as possible, so that when there are policy pronouncements that are put to the public, they have received adequate consideration as well as mechanisms for funding for sustainability in the system. And in the system, we're not talking about just fees or fee adjustments. We are talking about the funding of the entire system as a whole. So there's a whole lot that the president needs to actually consider, process, and then make a pronouncement. He has given us the assurance that this matter is receiving his utmost attention. That's all what we can say at the present moment. But it's not our report, it's the president's report. And we think he's taken us into confidence in respect to the process that are unfolding at the present moment.
You make a good politician, did you?
I'm not one, Chair. Now, in respect to the question of fee adjustment, our stance as a department in respect to this matter is that the question of fee adjustment in the system have got nothing to do who will be paying fees. Whether education is free or not, fees are going to be adjusted because that is an economic imperative. I don't think we need to collapse these two into one. There will never be. Apart from the question of responsibility, let's understand that's our appeal. The purpose of fee adjustment is to try to align the demand and the supply in respect to the operations of the entities, the institutions, as well as colleges, and that's an economic imperative. It will happen even if education is free. There will be adjustments. I hope that clarifies the matter, which is also embedded in this question. Our only regular expenditure, if there was any in this quarter, I'm not aware of, but the CFO will talk on this matter. But fortunately, the audit committee is also here. Now, Chair, the DDGs, we always try to ensure that DDGs are here. But if we may share with the portfolio committee, one of the things that we have sought to do in the department is to build and extend accountability and infuse institutional memory to as many staff members as possible so that the system is able to carry itself through capacity it has generated and developed over the years, such that in each and every branch, it should be a responsibility of any manager in there to be able to talk to the issues as they find themselves in respect to the operations of that particular branch in the system, amongst other things. And we think it's a good thing to do in investing in all these officials so that they are able to take and address matters quite confidently in respect to that sphere of operation. I'm not trying to belittle the importance of DDGs coming here before the portfolio committee. No, that must happen. But I think also the assistance of the portfolio committee members into ensuring that in the operations of the department, we must make it a point that we build that capacity and confidence in each and every official so that we don't have stops and goes, and the system benefits from the rich knowledge and capacity of almost everybody. He was at 12 skills, and today he is having a commitment he has to attend to. I think that would, thank you, Chair. The filling of vacancies, I think this is an important matter, but I think our reporting here is on the basis of the process and the turnaround time in respect to the filling of vacancies. Not that vacancies are not filled, but I think what is happening in the main, on average, in each and every post that gets advertised, you get at times up to 500 applications. These applications would have to be captured and a schedule developed, and it takes a lot of person power and time. Then you process them to shortlisting processes as well as interview recommendation. That's what we are trying to manage the best we can. But an HR practitioner is here. She can talk about any glitches that may be there or not. On CETAs, I don't know what the reps, the honorable member, seek to understand. The CETAs are independent entities of which the department plays an oversight. They have their annual performance plans. They have their strategic plans and their operations. Between them and the department, we have service level agreements which they have to fulfill, of which our monitoring then is in respect to that. But according to the Skills Development Act, there are areas that would require the attention and the intervention of the department. If a theater is not managing finances quite well, and its performance is quite pathetic in respect to the service level agreement that we're having with them, and also in those areas that are enshrined in their annual performance plans, because that's what we monitor through reporting. Perhaps then the question is whether in the sectors where they are operating, are they making impact or not? Or it's just a tick box that is happening. Mr. Ngubane can elaborate on that further, but that's how we are working in terms of monitoring and evaluation, as we are responsible for oversight. On ABET, lastly from my side, I'll ask my colleagues to come in. I think we reported to this portfolio committee at some point that we inherited adult education and training from provinces in respect to staffing, all of them with different conditions of service. Some are quite pathetic. Now, we are in the process of working towards rationalizing those conditions of service, but it would require a lot of money. The initial indication in terms of cost, it would be around 1.3 billion, which we don't have, just to rationalize, not talking about additional staff or whatever, because the employment in each and every province is different, and others are paid through claims. They are not on PERSAL. Others, they were functioning under the auspices of NGOs. So it's a very tricky and chair. But it's quite problematic. We have to fix it now. And the conditions and the situation of CTC is worse than TVET College sector, in as much as it is having its own challenges, you know, itself. But that's where we are at the present moment. How did us HR to come in their respective areas, then program two.
Thank you, TG. I just want to emphasize on vacancies that we don't really leave post vacancies, but continuously as and when we fill vacancies, most of the time we are creating another vacancy by promoting another person within the department. So it's a continuous process that actually keeps us busy throughout the year. But actually, in terms of the plan that we've developed, it's going to assist us somehow in terms of making sure that the turnaround time is reduced. We've reviewed the delegations, if I was to share with you part of the activities within the plan. It includes reviewing of the delegations by lowering them a bit. And also, remember, we've inherited different policies, different procedures from all the provinces. Part of the plan was to develop a standardized procedure manual for all the colleges, and workshops have already been conducted in all the 59 colleges. And the last thing that is actually delaying us in terms of this entire process is the process of receiving applications. We are in the process of finalizing the procurement of the electronic recruitment system, which will actually reduce most of the time that is spent during the time when we advertise posts, because we will no longer be receiving much applications through manual submissions, but through the system. So this is part of the plan, and if it gets finalized, for me, it will actually reduce. But the vacancies will always be there. As and when you fill the post, you are also creating a vacancy in another area. Thank you.
Thank you, DG. The question relating to program two was on the communication strategy for student support services, as to whether does it cover also on incidences where students commit suicide and the kind of support that we provide in that area. Just to clarify, I think the comments noted that this particular communication strategy is mainly focusing on the provision of career information to students, but also to those that would be coming into the system. For instance, there is a national career advice portal that has been introduced. It's an online self-help tool designed to facilitate and support students in as far as career information is concerned. Internally, the department, in terms of program four, that focuses on TVET colleges, and program three, that focuses on students at universities, they are dedicated student support interventions that would dwell amongst other issues pertaining to what is happening in as far as those institutions and the plight of students therein. Probably I would request through UDG, Mr. Patel or Dr. Paga to talk to that. Yes.
Maybe just to respond to that question around the student support that we provide. From within the department, you know, we develop policy, regulatory frameworks, and we support universities in developing their policies and implementing their policies. And each university, for example, will have its own student support services. The thing we check is that they have them in place. And we work with the various people involved in there, particularly when there are times when there are problems, but in general, this always happens at the level of the institution rather than at the level of the department.
Mr. Patel?
No, thank you. No, thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me firstly start from the bottom. I think the AG is here, but we are in touch with the AG in regards to the outstanding financial statements of those five colleges. That's East Cape Midlands, Northern Cape Rural, Swanee North, Swanee South, and Citibank. It's East Cape Midlands, Northern Cape Rural, Swanee North, Swanee South, and Citibank. And there has been agreement that the financial statements for East Cape Midlands, Northern Cape Rural, Swanee South, and Citibank would be submitted by the 30th of November, and Swanee North on the 15th of April 2018. And there has been discussion with the AG on that. Perhaps the AG can shed a bit more light around that particular area. Chairperson and honourable members, in regards to the 3-month issuing of certificates, that was the target that was set. Remembering that we had outstanding certificates going back to 2007 in regards to NCV and 1991 in terms of NATED. However, with the latest exam starting in November 2016, that period has been significantly reduced, and we are continuing to make progress in that regard as we're cleaning up the whole particular database. I did not catch the, and maybe the CFO will touch what it on the 275 irregular in TVET. But to follow up on the student support services question that was passed over, I think Dr. Parker had covered it, but in addition to this, at institutional level, there is the higher education aids program also consists and assist with some of their counseling.
Can I agree with it? Page 26.
Oh, okay. No, right. I thought it's money irregularities. These are exam irregularities. No, I will be able to. An irregularity out of the thousands, almost 250,000 of the papers that are written in examinations, an irregularity is a terminology that says if somebody has copied, if there has been an invigilation problem, in regards to that, it's marked as an irregularity in order not to halt the whole examination. So if somebody's copied or etc., they marked as irregularities, and then there's an investigation where students are given the benefit, or the college is given the benefit of putting their case forward, and then either their reasons are accepted or not. Those are, every exam has those irregularities, and then we have a period in which we deal with it. So we block the results that are going out. Thank you very much for that clarification. And then in regards to the enrollment information, the expectation was, that's correct, that the information for 2016 would have been cleaned and verified by the end of October. So we do issue preliminary information, but But there was a question that indicated that by the 30th of September we would have verified. Honourable Chair, that particular issue is not done. We're having a serious problem with the Tibet College's submission of that particular data, and we're hoping to get resubmissions of data by the end of November. That is to be able to confirm and verify the 2016 information. In regards to the 12 colleges, three of them are already in construction phase. One has been completed. Two is about 95% completed. There were issues with the service provider in terms of a dispute, and the dispute has been resolved. In regards to the other nine, we are very advanced stage in terms of the bidding process and the adjudication process and finalization of that particular process. Now I come to the to the last one, Chairperson. The DG has already indicated. The last report I have is at the 3rd of November. NSFAS has paid out 60% of the amount of money that was due to students. This is unacceptable by all standards. It's totally unacceptable. And NSFAS must be able to ensure that they fulfill their legislative mandate in regards to this particular issue. It cannot be that the constitutional rights of young people are violated, both in terms of access to food and access to shelter. So we've worked with the new CEO, and we were able to bring that figure up from 46% to 60%. And being November, where students are almost going to go home now, it is totally unacceptable. And we're just hoping that the new CEO is able to find his feet and to be able to deal with that particular issue. The DG has also, as indicated, made it very, very clear, Chairperson. The problem that we have with entities now is that somehow everything falls on the hands of the department. Even though Parliament has said, here's an entity, you run the particular issue, you have the mandate, and we seem to be having an entity problem in terms of them taking the autonomy but not being able to be accountable. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks, DG. I think the one issue you've already dealt with, which is the issue of conditions of service, and I think the chair summarized it in that one way. So I'm not going to add more to that, except to say that we are escalating the matter further, even to the level of cabinet, around how we deal with this issue of conditions of service. So that's how we're dealing with it. We do have preliminary data in terms of headcount and enrollment. We also have preliminary data in terms of certification rates. And I'm saying preliminary because they are still doing a bit of cleaning of the data, but we do have the data. So, for example, in terms of headcount enrollment, the data is indicating that we have 273,000 students in the system in terms of our survey. With regards to certification rates, data that we've received is saying at the moment performance is around 35.9%. So that's preliminary data that we have as of the 30th end of September 2017. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Yeah. The honourable member has asked the question about providing the specifics on the learning programs by the CITAS. I think, DG, you covered that well, but you requested that I make a comment about the impact assessment by CITAS. Given how far we've come with the implementation of the NSDS, at present, we are negotiating the performance targets with CITAS for the new financial year 2018-2019. And our emphasis is encouraging CITAS to set targets on conducting the impact assessment and conducting tracer studies. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Honourable Chairperson, on some of the questions, just to highlight, the spending as reflected for compensation of employees as asked is indeed 36% at the end of September. That is the actual amount, percentage. Indicating that it is relatively on par is correct, taking into account that there are still at that stage the amount of 135 that had to be shifted away from compensation of employees. Also taking into account that specifically performance awards and not adjustments in terms of the various staff throughout the department, including TVET and CET, still had to be processed, and therefore that below average percentage. Then, in terms of the irregular expenditure, the status of the case that was reported during the first quarter, the Director General approved submission. It was handed over to Labour Relations in terms of process. So the matter is with Labour Relations, and I would, if possible, request if HR could perhaps give an updated report on that matter and where it is currently. We requested a report, but we have not yet received one to see what is the update on the matter. In terms of the irregularities at TVET colleges, those are managed by colleges themselves, as indicated by Mr. Patel. However, there is a monitoring process in place by the financial planning component within the TVET branch, who deals with the finances specifically of TVET colleges. And perhaps if the committee would like, we could ask them to submit a specific report on that matter and what's been dealt with regarding it. The question around any irregularities during the second quarter, as at the stage of reporting and as of the state of today, not one irregular expenditure matter was identified or reported specifically for the second quarter, therefore it's excluded in this report. Thank you, Chair. I think those were the specific issues.
Thank you, DG. Honourable Chair, members, I just wanted to also mention the issue of the review of the Defence Act and the Central Application Service Bill, which we are busy preparing. Legal Services has indicated the NISFAS Act will be ready to go to the Minister for approval to put into the process through the Legislative Services by the end of March 2018. So I think that means it's probably only going to be in the following period. With a Central Application Service Bill, that one we're busy finalising at the moment, and my understanding is we will try to get that into the process. But I think we'll need to get our legislative services to give you a full understanding of which ones have been put forward. The other issue is the collaboration report, the framework for collaboration. We have the dialogue report that is completed, and we can provide you with a copy of that, and the draft policy has already been completed, but it will go through a process to be published for public comment in the next few weeks.
I think that unless Audit Committee Chair, AG,
I think the other question was on skills.
Yes, skills.
happening there? That one was promised to us before the ones that.
Can I follow up to find out the status from legal services?
Is it on the act? But I want the AG to get the opportunity. I think DG we done. I'll come back to see if there are any question that hasn't been answered. But let me and to the AG.
Thank you, Chair. And I think, Chair, I'm going to talk to the five outstanding. I think last time we were here in our response, we indicated that for the four colleges except one in North, we anticipated to sign off the report by the 31st of October. But currently, they haven't finalized them. I think those colleges hope to sign off, the auditors hope to sign off by within the next week. And then in regards to the current city bank, because the financial statements were received late, so that one, the expected date for signing off is 15th November. And then, one in North, because that one we're not so sure when we're going to sign off, because they seal a backlog for financial statements for the past 2 years. They never completed financial statements. So in terms of policy, we need to audit over a period of 3 financial years.
I take it then, honourable members, that we've covered the questions. Is there something not covered, honourable Van der Westhuizen and Kikana and Kuni?
Thank you, Chair. Can I take the silence of the DG on my view that the target set do not indicate quality, but rather quantity, you know, whether something has been completed, but it doesn't say about the quality of the report. That you agree with me?
No, he did answer.
Did he? Sorry, I missed that.
He did answer the qualitative nature also.
Would you mind just informing me?
I said, honourable member, the targets we are reporting for are contained in the APP. We're not developing them now. And how we're reporting, it's how it is actually stipulated. However, if honourable member thinks that perhaps going forward we would need to nuance APP targets somewhat differently, it's something that you are open to looking at. Thank you.
Honourable Kikana?
Yes, you continue.
Chair, the issue on CITAS again. The worry was, DG, that when we sit at and all of a sudden we hear the statistician saying there's 33% unemployment of TVET college graduates. Then we start asking ourselves, but this was the area we're hoping will produce skills that are in line with the needs of the economy, that will create a lot of jobs, and that would like to destigmatize that it isn't necessarily that you are weak in terms of academic performance. If you go there, it is because you just some of the people just like doing practical things. So when we get the 33% unemployment of youth coming there, you start through your head thinking, we did oversight. In Soweto, for example, a lot of students were complaining that they do get theory, but they don't get practice on the job training. I've often mentioned that artisans are to engineers what nurses are to doctors in a world. The nursing system is so good because they are there in the world with sisters, and the system itself generates tutors. Who
what
go
is
with
the question, honourable member?
Pardon?
What is the question? The DG said he heard about the nurses and the agriculture.
The question is, we go to oversight and we hear students saying they are not getting practical on the job training. And that is the job, in my understanding, that was supposed to be facilitated by CETAS. Let me leave it there. That is why I was asking, do we check the performance of CETAS? Because everywhere we went, students were saying they don't get on the job training. The second one is on human resource, that Chair, if there's an advert, and I can understand it's a tricky thing because you don't want to be accused of nepotism, you've got to follow procedures when you employ people. But the point is, if 500 people apply, I don't think it's worth wasting time on the data collection because you won't take automatically who's there in the data. What I think is should be done, and I'm glad that there's an electronic system that shortens the process, but I just think we should fight this thing of vacancy, and to a very great extent not have them, because if you know you're going to promote and that is going to leave a gap, I think automatically you must advertise for that gap so that you do the things simultaneously. It is just worrying that people are unemployed, but there are vacancies.
Colonel?
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. I don't know, maybe I was not listening in terms of response with regards to infrastructure development. That one, yeah, maybe I think that they did. Oh, okay, no, thank you, Chair, maybe. I was not listening properly. But lastly, Chair, I want to say, Chair, we agree with, I agree, in fact, with capacity building. That is why you will find that in the departmental reports, there is a particular fund which is meant for capacity building. And I think that you are doing that in your own, you know, time and way. You have got your own way of doing it. But I want to emphasize that branch heads must report and take responsibility, especially in reporting meetings such as this. Actually, we are not in a capacity building session, Chair. Here we are in a reporting meeting. In fact, if I look at these people there, they are very much hurt. But what I was saying, I'm not saying that I doubt the city, I jeba right, but what I'm saying, Guti, let the people who are responsible come and account. That's the bottom line. DG.
The DG has noted the point. Bring back Mbalo. Very popular.
I will break it.
The other two areas that were asked, DG, the other two areas?
What is happening in the system, and it applies across, with a particular focus in TVL colleges. One, there are three interrelated areas that require adequate attention. It's quality of teaching and learning in these TVL colleges. It's curriculum relevant. A lot of interventions in respect to developing dual systems of programs in the TVET College space at the present moment. The third area is college industry partnership that would enabler, make things easy for work placement of students, as well as exposure to the workplace by lecturers themselves, because they should always be updated. There's a lot of work that CETAs are doing in this respect, and also us in the department. And there are quite a number of companies that have actually opened up spaces for work placement, including government departments. The only thing, perhaps, is to what extent has that covered the ground? Something that we can look at it and see to what extent. But it is happening. State-owned companies, we may perhaps know that in respect to their budget, they don't cater for training, for work placement. We are getting into that area only through National Skills Fund. We're funding quite a lot of them for artisan development, work placement, ESCOM, DNEL, SAA, Transnet, including other government departments, for instance, correctional services, as well as DTI. Public works programs, in the main, are actually funded from National Skills Fund in terms of training component. It's more than 300 million that we have allocated for the Department of Public Works for expanded public works programs. So there are quite a number of interventions, but we have to agree that funds are not always sufficient, and line departments as well as state-owned companies haven't budgeted appropriately for training, so which is a challenge that is from the side of us as government. But private sector is coming to the party in a relatively high level at the present moment, and we seek to intensify that. Mr. Mvaro coming, no, we'll look at that. All what we're trying to emphasize is that without these officials, his work will go dead. So that, yeah, that infrastructure has been answered. No, thank you very much, sir.
The members seem to want to assist on this point. Then you are stimulating her to respond again. No, I think we should leave it there, honourable members, to thank the representatives of the Auditor General's Office for coming, helpful, and the department and all the other officials. So thank you very much for the report. May we ask you to continue the good work for learning and teaching at our institution. That's our ultimate big price that we would want with whatever we do. Honourable members, there are two other points on the agenda, and you are free to take leave, DG and the team. Thank you. There are two other areas, honourable members. As they are leaving the room, honourable members, you would have seen that the University of Cape Town seemed to be having one or other problem, unrelated at some minute related to fees issue. We think, I mean, some of the horrid things you saw last week is really worrying. And persuade the members that we go to UCT tomorrow morning as a matter of urgency, because we're worried about the range of things there. So we are suggesting that we put the urgent application to the institution to allow us to go there, to meet with the management, and to meet with the student body. Whatever we do will not and should not, thank you, should not disturb any of the academic. But the problem is, if we do nothing, there is a problem with the academic year not being taken care of at the moment. And we think it is the duty of the committee where such problems continue to be there, that we go there as a matter of urgency on our own fact-finding mission to understand what the difficulties are. You would know that the university has gone to the court and interdicts and all of that, and a number of these problems don't seem to go away. So that's the first one I put to the members. Are we agreed?
May I just point out, we'll have to ask for special permission for leave, as Thursday mornings are caucus meetings for us. I hope to be able to join you. And I will certainly, as soon as it's confirmed that it's been arranged, put in such an application. But I may be prevented from going along.
Okay. We're all in the same boat. Caucus is Thursday morning, and so we all put in the same application on an urgent basis, but we take that into consideration to see if we can, you know, have the visit as short as possible, as in going there 9 o'clock or be there 9 o'clock, and then see if we can do an hour thing or so, and members might be able to return back to their caucuses. I'm saying that's the hope. You never know when you get there, things.
I hear what you say.
Is honourable members, is that in order? Okay, so that's agreed to. Then the second and last matter, honourable members, is let me remind you, because the question that was asked on honourable Fund of Yester is an earlier on. We are having Laspis and everyone else before us next week, when we talk about the readiness. So this issue of NASFIS and all of that will come up, because we're talking about, like we did last year, the readiness of everyone, from student to UCEF, to colleges, to who else? Department, NASFIS, the entity. So that's what we're dealing with, so that matter will arise again. The last one, honourable members, is we wrote to the minister last week. The minister responded, and if you don't have a copy with you, because I was given it as I walked in, I can read what the minister's response is, if you don't mind. Honourable Kekana?
Yeah, please read, Chair, because
all right. So the minister says, your letter dated 1st of November 27 bears reference. We are in constant engagement with the presidency on the expeditious release of the report by the Presidential Commission of Inquiry into Higher Education and Training. As is standard practice with all reports by Presidential Commissions of Inquiry, the Office of the President is considering the report and its recommendations in depth. President is also engaging with various government departments, including my department and cabinet, towards finding a sustainable solution to the higher education funding challenges. The Department of Higher Education and Training respects and supports this process and awaits the release of the report by the presidency in order for it to present the report with its recommendations and decisions to the Portfolio Committee on Higher Education and Training once the report has been released. I would like to assure the Portfolio Committee that the matter of the financing and stability of post-school education and training sector remains my priority. I am also engaging universities, UCEF, to ensure that the academic program for the 2017 academic year is concluded without further disruptions. Professor Slenguwe Mkhize. That's the response, honourable members, of the minister. So honourable members, I mean, if you can hear, and I think that the DG also partly covered this, and if you want to comment, you may do so, but I mean, this is the response from the minister, honourable Van der Westhuizen.
Thank you, Chair. Hats off to you for writing so quickly and also to the minister for responding so swiftly. Thank you. I think you have seen all kinds of articles appearing on, you know, people that are supposed to be related to the president coming up with, you know, alternative proposals and so on. And I think the problem that we have is that the vacuum that we're currently experiencing in the absence of that report is being filled by all kinds of rumors, which can only work towards further destabilizing. So let's hope that the report will be made available soon. I've also read that the president intended to release the report this week. So hopefully the release is imminent.
Any other member? Ekana?
Yes, Chair. We know the President's office has been working very hard on this commission, but it has taken a while, and the point is we are at the end of the year, which means students are panicky about exams, and also next year when they have to register, parents would want to know, is it 8% increase? And what are we doing about it? So in order to help that situation, we really hope that we can get the finality on this route, but it doesn't go into next year, because it will have parents, it will have students know what their situation is next year. That's what I wanted to say.
All right. So honourable members, I think, yes, thank you very much. The minister has responded to it. I think the content is obviously quite important, and that is that we are, there's a sentence that says that they are discussing this with the entire, with the cabinet, with other colleagues and so on. And so I think we would agree, whilst we will continue to liaise with the minister to say that the matter remains important and that the matter has to be dealt with the greatest speed that they can. But what is important is obviously the qualitative nature of the responses there too. Because to have a report and not to know what we're going to do is the worst thing that we can have. And we think it will be in the interest of the country for a considered issue. I really like what Treasury has done already in this report. The Treasury has set aside, you know, they're at least saying something. The minister has said something in his budget speech, which he then alluded to February. And so we think that the country can only be good for those kind of signals that we are seeing. And if what the DG says, there's an overall looking at the entire thing, we think that that's the right direction to go into, to look at the entire aspect, because we cannot have an ad hoc arrangement anymore. You know, this thing of 2015-16, there was ad hoc stuff. You can't have ad hoc. We need certainty in the country, and we need to have a consensus built process. And so if that is what they are doing, engaging with all the differences, I think you would agree, honourable members, that's what we should support needs to come to us.
Response? Chief, for me, the highlight of the response is the word sustainable solution.
Honourable members, I have no other reason to keep you here. We will see each other in the morning. If the application application has been approved, but the secretary will obviously communicate to everyone. And if all else is okay, we will leave from here, I would imagine, to go to UCT. Those that are taking buses, you will have to get here as early as possible to make sure that we can be at UCT. So the early bus, the late bus that you take on the Thursday must be the earliest bus that you take from the village tomorrow morning to enable us to get to UCT as early as possible. I think what will be good is we will go against the traffic that time of the morning, and that should be good. Honourable members, may I thank you very much for your attendance, for your attendance and contribution. Thank you.
I'm squatting, please. Would the help suffer? Hey, Baba. Okay, Baba. Okay, if it's about
same number that you got.
Yeah, same number. I have given it to the school.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
also, I normally use the filter block that I can get that in my phone.
Which other committee are you on? Very well, thank you.